I'm taking applications, and there's a lot of empty seats up here. I know there's a lot of beautiful voices out there because I hear them. Believe me, I hear them. And if you have the inclination to come and join us in the choir, it doesn't pay any better wages up here than it does back there. But anyway, we're glad to have you. Either way, I'm glad to see each one of you here, and we hope you get a blessing. And if you're visiting, why, please take part in the service. And we'll begin our service in the yellow book, as we call it, number 48. Number 48. Good. All right. Slow down just a little bit and turn over a few pages to number 65. Number 65.
Sing it, our soul. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for playing today. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out for our service today. I hope everybody's had a good week, and I hope everything has done well for you this week. We had a good Sunday school class this morning, I thought. Good lesson this morning, talking about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Brother Tom started off by saying, he said, we're going to have to cover all 66 book chapters in one lesson. And he done a good job with it today, I thought. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing out on an opportunity to learn more about Jesus. A lot of times we kind of get in our heads that Sunday school is just for kids, but it's for all of us. It's for us to all learn about the Lord and learn about some things that God does. And I'm going to tell you something. The more I study the Bible, the more I figure out that I don't know. Brother Tom, he put some things together today that I never added up together before today for me. So you come and study. Whether you're young or old, our teachers are good back in the back with the kids. Our teachers are good in here for the adults and everything. So you'll enjoy everything that that you learn about Jesus. And as the song says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. And what that's speaking about is our salvation. The sweeter it gets. I used to be, as a young preacher, I would hear the older ones talk about how sweet it was getting closer to heaven. Well, I'm understanding that a lot better. I kind of understood it back then, but I'm understanding it more and more all the time, just getting closer to Jesus all the time. And you know yourself, when you've been on a trip somewhere, and I know a lot of you have been traveling here over the last week, probably still some traveling, but when you've been away from home, you start getting close. It starts to get and feel real good, doesn't it? If you've been gone a week or so, it feels real good. But if you've been gone a while, then it gets to feeling even better. And the closer we get to heaven, the sweeter it gets, is what it does. And so we're glad that God gives us that privilege as saved individuals to have that joy. Well, I need to move right along. It's good to see everybody out today. Glad to have any visitors that we have with us today. I hope and pray that you'll make yourself right at home with us today, and I hope you'll be blessed in this service today. We're going to go right into our children's church, and Brother Tom's going to be doing that today. Brother Tom.
We're here this time. Need a bunch of people over here to hold these stairs down. Come on, come on. Hey, Mr. Luke. Hey, Mr. Luke. Good to see you all. What's everybody been up to? Fall breaking? Yes, no? Sleeping? All right, I'm getting old. I had to make notes again. You might get old one day and become forgetful like me. So, I want to talk to you today about God's promises. Now, did anybody come to the Vacation Bible School a few years ago, which was Standing on the Promises? Anybody remember that? Well, it was really good, and I want to try to reinforce some of that. All right. Are there any promises in the Bible? Can I get a head nod? No? Yeah, like this? The Bible is full of promises. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple of the promises that are in the Bible. The first one is a sign of a promise. Does anybody know what one of God's signs of a promise that he made in the Bible is? Thank Noah. Rainbow? Did you all know that the rainbow is a sign of one of God's promises that he made. You know what the promise was? It was that he would never destroy all mankind, all animals with water again. And the Bible tells us that God looks upon those rainbows and it brings to him remembrance of the promise that he made to everyone. So I think that's really cool. There are a couple others that I wanted to mention. Did you know, and this kind of ties into the Sunday school class that the adults had today, did you know that 750 years at least before Jesus was here, that there was a prophet named Isaiah who shared one of God's promises that Jesus would come? Isn't that really neat? 750 years before he came, there was a prophet out there saying, God's promising that he is going to send a Savior. And then Jesus came, right? And he was here on this earth for 33 and a third or so years. And when he was here, you know what? He made some promises too, didn't he? Does anybody know one of Jesus' promises? Well, he made a lot, but I think one that's really special is over in John chapter 14. And I won't read the whole scripture, but it was basically this, that Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, that he was going to have to go away. But he said that I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And that we all one day who were saved, that we will get to go with him and be with him in heaven. Isn't that a great promise? All right, so everybody's probably thinking, well, that's what was promised, but how do I know that that promise is going to be true? Well, I'll tell you. If I make a promise to you, I'm going to do my best to keep it. You know, if I tell Emily or Sarah or Ben, hey, we're going to get up in the morning and go for breakfast. But then, you know what, I might feel kind of tired and not really want to get out and leave the house. It'd be fairly easy for me to break a promise if I'm not careful, wouldn't it? I try not to do that, but hey, sometimes, or maybe I'm sick. Sometimes things are outside of our control. So I can make a promise to you, and you would be right to question whether, well, it might not happen. But you know what? You know who Peter was? Peter? Peter and James and John went fishing. The writer, Peter, the apostle Peter. Well, he said that God doesn't count slackness as other men count slackness. And what that means is if God said it, you can bet your bottom dollar that that promise is true. Mm-hmm. Right? So the good news that I have for you today is that your Bible is full of God's promises for you. And the good news is that it's all true. That if it hasn't come to pass yet, you can be sure that it will at some point in the future. And I think that is awesome. What do you guys think? Everybody shake your head. Say, awesome. Cat got your tongue today. Awesome. It's going to get real awkward unless somebody says it. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. You're always so sweet up here. Even you, Ben. All right. You can go.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Good lesson. I think probably one of my favorite promises out of the Bible is it's Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come again. And he didn't put promise in front of it, but that was a promise. And he is coming again. Good to see everybody this morning. Does anybody have a word of testimony or a prayer request before we go any further in the service this morning? Everybody's quiet this morning. We was quiet in the Sunday school class. We do need to remember the ones that we have that are sick. Brother Slick, I know, is going back to the doctor this week. We want to keep him in our prayers. We need to remember Brother Randall and Sister Debbie and Brother Sonny and Miss Linda and the others that are sick. And I'm going to get in trouble if I keep trying to name. I'll forget somebody. We do need to remember these in our prayers. I know that there's different ones that are not as well as they want to be, but let's be prayerful for them. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yes. All over here. Yeah. Let's do remember Brother Randall's son. Somebody else. Okay. Let's do remember Josh's mom. She'll be having a procedure here in a week or so. So let's do remember her. Somebody else. Glad to see each and every one here today. We want to go into the Lord in prayer, and I hope that you'll remember me. I hope you'll also remember these that are here today that's not saved. We need to pray for them. And we need to pray that the Lord will bless today and maybe save their soul today. He's willing. They've just got to get willing is what they've got to do. And let's remember them in our prayers. Let's pray that the Lord will send conviction down upon them today, so that they'll know that they need to get saved today is what they need to do. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way, please. Brother Chad, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
You may be seated. Continuing our song service is try number 34. 34.
Thank you.
good. All right. Let's go back to the old school hymnals here. Number 168. 168. Thank you. I couldn't help but think of my father during that song. One of the things he wanted on his tombstone was that verse from Psalms 116, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There was a good crowd of people went to work Friday over here near McEwen.
Yeah.
And they were gone in an instant.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that I hope they were all ready to meet the Lord.
Yes.
We never know when we walk out the door if it'll be the last time that we say goodbye. Now, my daddy had a testimony. I have a testimony. I'll ask you, do you have a testimony that you know the Lord?
Amen.
Life is so full of uncertainty. Life is short. But I like the promise that he talked about. Mm-hmm. I'll come again, receive you unto myself. And so here's an invitation song. Number 248, there's room at the cross. We don't have to wait till the end of the sermon for the invitation. The Lord says, come. The Lord is knocking. If he's knocking on your heart, remember, there's room at the cross for you. 248. I didn't mean to say all that, but I had to clear my conscience.
Thank everyone that came up to sing for us today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Anybody want to sing a special? We would, I want everybody to always follow the Lord in whatever way it might be. If somebody's got a song on your heart, sing it. If you've got a testimony on your heart, say it. We were blessed a couple weeks ago to get to see that. And it's always a blessing when we follow the Lord. So let's keep that in mind. We ask that you remember the prayer requests that were mentioned. Anything that might have not been mentioned but was on people's hearts, I hope that you will remember that and be prayerful for those things. And we all have things that we are praying for, right? Remember those things. Pray for them. And you may have not heard any of us say those things, but God knows who what they are. And so you ask the Lord for those people's benefits is what I would ask you to do today. We're going to take a reading lesson today out of Ezekiel, the 7th chapter. Ezekiel, the 7th chapter is where we're going to take a reading lesson. I'll give you a moment or two to get there. I'll ask you to be prayerful for me. I've had this message on my heart now for a little while and wondered when it was going to be time for it. And today seems like it's the time. Kind of argued with the Lord. I always argue with the Lord about what the message needs to be and want to make sure that I'm bringing the message that God wants us to hear. And so when I have one like this on my mind for a little while, I want to make sure it's not me and it's the Lord. So you be prayerful for me today that this message will be what it needs to be. So Ezekiel, the 7th chapter, we'll start reading with verse 2. We're not going to bother with verse 1. Also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense, and that means pay or give, unto thee all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy way upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. The end is come. The end is come. It says that twice, and that when they did that, that means to take notice of it. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. That's reading the first 6 verses of the 2nd through the 6th verse for a reading lesson this morning. Anybody got a guess as to what I'm going to preach on today? It states it several times in there, didn't it? I don't know that they actually do it that much now. I don't get to watch many movies now, but the old movies, usually when the movie got down to the very end, they had a screen that would pop up. And it would say one of two things, the end or to be continued. Most of the time it was the end. Back years ago, they didn't do a lot of sequels. So they would put the end at the end of it. Most of us, the older ones especially, will remember the cartoons. At the end of the cartoon, they'd have this little pig run out there, and I'm probably going to mess this up, but I used to be able to do Porky pretty good. And he'd get out there, and he'd say, bidi, 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 it, that's all, folks. All the older ones laughed at that. The young ones may not have, but this is dead serious. That's all, folks. A lot of people in the world today believes there is no the end. They think this everything's just going to continue going on and going on and going on just like it has forever, it seems like, at least in their lives. I think even the people in Noah's days were the same way. Even though Noah had been preaching to them probably for better than 120 years, I really believe he'd preached righteousness to them even before God had called him. I think that was one of the reasons why that he found grace in the eyes of God. But we know that that he preached to the people in his day as he was building the ark that there was coming a flood, that there was coming the end. And those people probably laughed. They probably mocked. They probably did a little bit of everything during that time that Noah was preaching to them. But they said, we haven't seen anything like that. We haven't seen a time when water would fall from the sky like you're talking about. There'd be a great flood. We haven't seen anything like that. Thus, there will not be anything like that. And that's the attitude of people today. They have in their minds that there is no the end. As Brother Sam was talking about the blast or explosion the other day, that was a moment for those individuals And I'll just say it, that this is the visual part. If you saw the news, there was an end to that building. It just disintegrated, it seemed like. The steel girders were sent off, twisted and bent. Pieces ran out into the parking lot and destroyed even automobiles that looked to be several hundred feet away from the building itself. The end to that moment. And as Brother Sam said, there was a lot of people right there that met their end at that time. There's coming the end to every individual in this world. And we call that death for one thing, but I'm not talking about death today. I'm talking about the end of this world. Does everybody here today believe that there's coming a day that the world will end? You know, most of the people today, if you start talking to them about a time that the world will end, they'll say, well, we're going to set off a nuclear blast, nuclear weapons. Russia's going to fire at us. We'll fire at them. Whoever else has got them, going to send them up. And that's going to be the end of the world. Nope, that's not the way it's going to happen. God's going to do it. I want you to get that in your mind. God is going to do it. He's not going to use a nuclear weapon to cause a great catastrophic thing down here. He doesn't have to. All he's got to do is speak it. You ever heard the statement made by parents that said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out? I'm going to tell you, our parents and me included, I may make that statement, but that's not necessarily true. But God the Father, He put us into this world and He can take us out. And I believe He will one of these days. He's going to make an end of all of these things that we're talking about. You look outside. Take a look. I know most of you take a little spell. You take a glance out the windows every once in a while. You'll see a car going by. It'll catch your attention. Just think, there's no more cars going by. Just think, the grass out here is not going to be here. Just think, the buildings that you're seeing around you, they're not going to be here. Hey, what about the ground itself? It's not going to be here today. I want you to get these things in your mind today. There's coming an end to this world one of these days, and we need to keep that in mind. Here a couple of weeks ago, there were some people that got on the internet, and they started prophesying that the end was coming. Jesus was coming back. On a particular day, back a few weeks ago, was what they did. I want you, first of all, when we start talking about this end today, I don't want you to pay any attention to these individuals who get out there and says, this is the doomsday. This day is when Jesus is coming back. I'm going to give you scripture on this, first of all. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, if you want to turn real quickly with me, right quick, to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and you start with verse 24, and Jesus talking, this is being done. And when the disciples had asked, they had said unto him, look at the temple, and he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. Then they come back to him when they got in private, and they said, Lord, when's these things going to happen? And when shall be the end of all things, basically, is what they say. But Jesus, he went on to tell them about the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem, but then he starts talking about the end of time. And what he says in the 24th verse, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In other words, there's individuals out here that's trying to deceive each and every one of us out here today. They are seeing these things going on in our lives that are going about, and they're trying to tell us these things are coming about. There's even individuals that will come up and will say that I am the Christ. I remember when I was a young preacher, there was a group that came out of Korea in which that the man said, I am the Christ. Jesus failed when he was here upon earth and when he allowed himself to die, but he said, I am the Christ. That man's name was Sung Yung Moon. And that man died not a death of sacrifice like Jesus did, but he died a man like everybody else did. But there'll be people that will come up and they'll say that I am Christ. I am that prophet that's coming, he said. He said, verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. He said, behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. There's individuals out here today, just like those people a couple of weeks ago, saying Jesus is coming back on this particular day, and they're saying he's going to be here, he's going to be there. You need to go unto him. Don't you believe it is what I'm going to tell you today. A few verses later here in this chapter, Jesus makes the statement, no man knoweth the day nor the hour in which that the Lord shall come. Not even Jesus himself, not the angels know. Nobody on this earth knows. Only God himself knows that day. And we need to keep that in mind. But what he goes on to say, and this is your instruction about that day. He says, for in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, most people today and most preachers will tell you Jesus is coming out of the eastern sky. And that's fine. He may do that. I don't know. But what this verse right here is telling you, just as at the midnight hour, at the darkest time, how many of you have seen that brilliant flash of lightning coming out? Sometimes it's a straight down bolt that's brilliant and bright. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I remember years ago, there was a thunderstorm going on, a little bit of lightning going on, and a wind was blowing. I stepped up to the front door, opened it up, looked out to see, and there was a bolt of lightning hit pretty close, brilliant, bright flash. I knew what it was, and I shut the door and went back in the house. What I'm telling you, as the brightness of the lightning flashing in the darkness, or the brightness of that light shining upon you, you're going to know it's Jesus. You're going to know that it's the end of time. That's what he's telling you today. And he says, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, what that scripture is telling us in that day right there is that with this going on, all of us that are here upon this earth that are saved are going to be caught away, right? All of those that have died upon this earth, they're going to be woke up. Go to Daniel, the 12th chapter. We're talking about what's happening on that last day. There's not going to be need to be any kind of purpose in your mind. I hear people say, well, don't let it be during the summertime when the Lord comes. Maybe it's going to be during the wintertime. They'll say, let the people run off into the woods or into the mountains. I find in the book of Revelation where the Bible tells us that when he appears, that everyone will cry out. That's not saved, that is. And they will cry out unto the Lord and say, hide us. They'll go to the rocks and mountains, and they'll go into the rocks and mountains, and they'll cry for them to hide them from the face of the Lamb that sits on the clouds. They're going to see him, right? In Daniel in the 12th chapter, verse, he said, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such shall be such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. What was I talking about a while ago? Everybody that's been saved is going to be delivered out of this world. But listen to what he said. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. What's the difference in these two individuals that we're talking about here in this scripture? The ones that are going into life everlasting are the ones that have been saved by the grace of God. Everybody, I don't care if you go back to Adam, all the way down to the last person saved. And one of these days, there's going to be a last individual that's going to be saved. I want you to understand that today. Every one of them is going to be brought up out of this world. All of those that have died and been put in the ground or maybe cremated or in some way, God's going to call all of those pieces together, and they're going to come together and meet the Lord in the air, those that have been saved. But what about those that comes out and are in shame? What is it talking about? I'm going to tell you, every sinner, everyone that is lost and away from God, I want you to get this today. If you've not been saved by the grace of God, and you know that God is dealing with you today or some other time, you're a sinner in God's eyes, and in that day, you're going to be ashamed. What are you going to be ashamed of? Your sin. What are you going to be ashamed of? The very fact that you didn't take the opportunity to be saved. You're going to be ashamed of those things. But I want you to notice what he said. You'll be not only in shame, but everlasting contempt. And what that means is an everlasting destruction. It will not be a destruction as far as like when you set a pile of wood or a pile of trash or papers on fire and it burns until it's exhausted and it goes away. Everlasting means perpetual. It means it continually feeds itself. It'll continue on to burn in that way. That's what the scripture is talking about. But now let's go on back to the end of all things. I'm going back to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. And if you'll remember, Brother Tom quoted this first verse that in his lesson today. He said, the Lord, this is 9th verse, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. A lot of people think, well, just because those individuals over there a few weeks ago said the Lord was coming back and he didn't, well, he must not be coming back. God's not really going to come back, is he? That's what a lot of the world is saying today, isn't it? Those people over there, they was believing them. They was kind of looking at them. Well, maybe he is. But when he didn't show up on their day, you know what they did? They started to mock him. And I mean God, not that gentleman. I shouldn't even call him a gentleman. That man. I want you to understand, this man had no idea. He had no leadership of God. The Lord had not spoke to him. If he had spoke to him, he would have quoted to him the verses that I did a while ago. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But what he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that you and I are in this church house today is because of the longsuffering of God. How many of you would say today, this world is more evil than it was when I was a child? Every one of us would. I think even the young ones would say, well, there's a lot more things goes on that's evil. Oh, what about the shootings in the school? Well, that didn't used to happen. That didn't even happen when some of our little ones were going on, were living, was it? Now it's about a weekly thing, isn't it? What about all the murders that are going on around us? We consider that evil, right? What about the other things that we consider as evil in this world? All of these things are just continuing to happen. And what are you doing? You're saying it's getting worse and worse. But I want you to understand, the only reason you're here today is because God is wanting you to repent of your sin, to be saved, to give you another opportunity before he says it's enough. That's the only reason. I want us as church members, especially saved people, next, I want us to consider this too. The only reason that our loved ones are still here is because God has given us, I'm talking about us, the opportunity to tell them a little bit more about Jesus, praying that they'll be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. It's going to happen now. Now, listen to verse 10. He calls it, but the day of the Lord, what is that day? The end. When he's going to say, it's over with, it's done, it's the end of it. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What did he mean by a thief in the night? Does that mean he's going to come at nighttime? I'm going to tell you something. If it's nighttime here on the other side of the earth, it's daytime. You don't think he's coming over there? If he comes over there in Israel, we'll say that's where a lot of people think he's going to show up at, is there in the Holy Lands. He may do it. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, just as sure as he sets his foot in Israel, we'll know it here. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be like a bright, shining light, and every one of us is going to know what it is. It's not going to be a sound of a trumpet, and we think, well, it's, what is that? We're going to say, it's the Lord. I think even the sinners are going to know what it is. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What did he mean? Unexpected. I'll get back to that in a minute. In the which the heavens shall pass away. What's he talking about, heavens? You see that blue sky out there today? You see them clouds that are up there? Oh, preacher, you're scaring my kids. I'll tell you what, they better get scared. They better get afraid of it. The world today wants the children of the world not to be afraid of God. You better be afraid of him. Because he says here, he says, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You know what that noise is? That's the shout of the Lord's people coming back. This noise is the sound of the trumpets of God sounding that time is no more. He said, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, all the things that we see in the heavens, they're going to melt. When I was a little kid, I loved playing fire. I used to like to take a plastic bottle, put it on a stick, stick it in the fire, and just watch it melt. You know that's where this earth's going to be? Oh, preacher, you didn't mention that the earth's going to melt. Oh, listen to this. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Whew. Think about it. It sounds scary, don't it? It is. It shall be burned up. We need to get that on our minds today. Whew. Think about your children, your grandchildren. They're caught up in sin. They're sinners in the sight of God. Listen to what Peter said. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversations and godliness? My friends, what are we doing today? We're watching the ball games, yeah. Yeah, I know we got to work. But we ought to have our minds upon God. We ought to be telling our workers about Jesus. Oh, they might think that we're a religious fanatic. Well, I tell you, if we love the Lord and we love them like we ought to, we would be telling them in our conversations of these things that are going to happen. Yes, they may think us crazy, but it's better to be a fool for Christ's sake than for us to suffer loss for then those sinners dying and going to a devil's hell forever. He said, looking, we are to be looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Are you looking for Jesus to come? I'll just ask you that question today. Are you looking for Jesus to come? Let's go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew again. Jesus told a parable after he'd done told them. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Lord. In that day. It's going to be that way. He said, They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. And he said they were just going about their lives in a daily way, just like you and I are today. Not thinking about God. Not thinking about these that are lost. The sinners are going about their lives. Oh, God will spare me until then. Brother Sam made comment about the explosion, and he said, I hope those individuals are saved. What if they weren't? If you'd been in that building, where would you have been? You would have been disintegrated, wouldn't you? Just like the rest of them. In the day of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, that explosion was probably a pretty good pinpoint as to what is going to happen to in here on this earth. Everything's gone. What kind of mind should we have? Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. This is talking to us. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, the idea is, and I told you we was coming back to the thought of the thief and the night coming. Now, if you knew, if somebody called you, some stranger called your house or called your phone, and they said, I'm coming to break into your house tonight. I'm going to take everything you've got valuable in your house. What would you do? Oh, I'd pull out a shotgun, wouldn't I? Would you? Maybe you'd get a baseball bat. Remember when Heather kept a baseball bat next to her door when she was in college down here? You'd be watching for them. You'd make sure every door lock was turned, wouldn't you? You'd make sure that the authorities knew that you had this threat coming toward you. You'd do everything you could to make sure that everything got. What would you do with your kids or grandkids that was there with your house? What would you do with them? Oh, I'd put them in the safest place I possibly could. You know where the safest place is? With Jesus. That's the safest place they can be. He said, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. How many of you heard at the funerals? No, they don't do it very much anymore, but they would show a wheel. And they would show the different parts of the wheel broken off and gone. That meant family members were gone. The others were left behind. That's the house he's talking about, is your family. That's your family. Would you want to be separated today if the Lord came back? No, I don't think of one of us that's saved would. If we could do anything to save our lost. And you know, I look back there and I see the different ones that are lost that hadn't told us about being saved. And I look at every one of them and, oh, I don't want them to be separated from us. I don't want them to be broken away. I remember hearing years ago a little girl had a dream about her aunt that was a sinner. And she said, in my dream, I knew the Lord was coming back. And I'd heard the trumpet. And she said, I was going up, but my aunt was not going up. Broken apart. Think about it. There's coming to the end. In that end, there's going to be a separation. Those that are saved, the Bible says in the 25th chapter of Matthew, that Jesus said, all of them are going to be called up together. And he said, I'm going to put the sheep on the right hand. I'm going to put the goats on the left hand. They're separated. Do you want to be separated from your loved ones? I'm going to ask you today, if you're a sinner, do you want to be separated away from me? No, I don't want to be with you anyway. Probably what some of you are saying. Think about it. Do you want to be separated in that day? Therefore, be ye also ready, is verse 44. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then it is the end. And in our terms, that's all, folks. Now, I realize the world today will say, you'll have a second chance. Heard a man say the other day, it's logical that you'd have a second chance. You know what? You're in your second chance right now. You are. You're in your second chance right now. Actually, you've been given them. If you've been a sinner, a lost now for, we'll say a year or two or something like that, you've had, we'll say a year, you've had 365 days of second chances. I want you to consider this today. Now, you might say, well, I don't know if he's coming back today or not. Those people in that building didn't know that blast was going to happen. We won't know when the Lord's coming back until we hear the shout, until we hear the trumpet. and you won't either. And you better get your heart right now, because we don't know if it's today or if it's tomorrow, or maybe it's 30 minutes from now. We don't know that. But Peter wrote it down, and I believe this was the doctrine of Jesus. This earth is going to melt away. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Even the skies are going to melt away. The next verse down from that says that we look for a new heaven and a new earth. It's not going to be here. It's not going to be here. It's going to be in glory where Jesus and God is. That's what we're looking for. But the sinners will be in eternal shame and contempt. And that's in hell. Where's your heart at today? Brother Sam, while we sing, as Brother Sam said earlier, the altar is open today to anyone that would love to seek the Lord and be saved. We can't save you. Only the Lord can save you today. Come and seek Him before it's too late. For the end is coming. While we stand and sing.
256. 256.
Like.